97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Not so recently, but we took control our dog. We got her one of those electronic collars, right, that is sort of like a wireless fence. When she goes near the edge, it beeps at her, and if she tries to violate it, it gives her a little buzz. And then if she breaks through it, it would actually apply a slight shock. And she's so skittish that we never have to worry about that. She never gets near the edge of the yard anymore because she's afraid of this thing. Kim just suggested they need to get me a shock collar.
Now, here's the thing. I didn't specifically shock collar. I said a buzzer. However, that might be a good idea. But here's the thing. Yes. Do you not agree, Ethan, that Mark would be the kind of dog, though, that would get shocked and still run through?
I'd run through it.
It doesn't matter. You get shocked over and over again. It wouldn't matter.
I would run right through it. There's no doubt about that, but I was sitting at my desk trying to edit a soundbite from some guy named Dave Smith. Have you ever heard of him? You ever heard of Dave Smith?
I feel like it's a common enough name that I've heard of it, but I don't know who this Dave Smith guy is.
Yeah, me neither. I used to work with somebody named Dave Smith. Different guy. He apparently is a podcaster of some sort, and he was on with Theo Vaughn, who I do know, I am familiar with. And he's suggesting that no Trump supporter who voted for him ever wanted regime change in Venezuela. And I hate to keep going back to this, but I think these people have got it all wrong. They think that Donald Trump's base is completely divided over this, that somehow he's sold out to the war hawks and all this stuff. And I'm in there editing that, trying to edit that soundbite for the people. And then all of a sudden I hear Ethan say, "Mark, your show is on." I'm like, I had to run in here. You never run to a mic, but I did.
Hey, is there something on Amazon? Let me look. Does anyone know?
I probably got an old dog thing that we can bring out.
314-241-9797. Text us if you know of something on Amazon that might work.
Good luck getting that strapped on me. I'll just tell you.
We've done it before. It's not fun.
To Mark or to the
dog? No, to each other.
Wait,
when we were camping.
Oh,
there may have been alcohol involved.
I would think
testing it out. Hey, yeah. I wonder what this feels like.
Pretty much.
I bet you a lot of guys who get shock collars, probably a lot of women too, want the
beer.
They want to feel the shock to make sure it's not going to hurt the dog too much. Oh, yeah.
Funniest video. I'm sure it's still out there on YouTube somewhere. When I worked at Channel 4 years ago, Larry Connors, then anchor at Channel 4, went to the police academy and had them taser him. Do you remember this? Ethan remembers it. It was the funniest video you've ever seen. Like, I couldn't imagine why you'd want to do that, but he wanted to experience it. Larry used to be a Marine, and he charges at the cop, and the cop hits him with this thing, and he's like, and he just drops like a rock, and he's trying to say something, and he can't get the way. I mean, it was hilarious. So no thank you. I do not want to subject myself to that. If I can avoid it, for sure. Hey, we're glad you're back with us this morning. It is the opening day of the legislative session. We're going to be keeping you up to date on what's happening down there. You know, all the articles describing this so far is that the Missouri lawmakers expect tension. Imagine that as they return for the election year legislative session. We're going to talk to State Rep Richard West coming up in the next segment on what's going on in his mind this session. Because, of course, Republicans have put the abortion issue back on the ballot. The redistricting just happened. Democrats are probably going to try to slow down things this session. And, of course, there's always the infighting among the Republicans down there. So we'll find out what Richard's looking forward to and maybe some of the legislation he's pre-filed here in just a couple of minutes. Just a word of warning. As I headed out the door this morning, fresh on my mind was the fact that yesterday morning at this time, it was 52 degrees. Almost short sleeve weather in the middle of January. This morning, it's not. So I went out the door with only a light vest on and was freezing for the first few minutes until I got the truck warmed up. You're gonna want a medium jacket this morning when you head out the door. It's going to warm up nicely, but it's much colder this morning. It's like 30 degrees compared to yesterday. It's 20 degrees colder this morning. Just a little heads up there. All right. Right now, Ethan, let's go ahead and get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The vast, vast majority of Republicans are with Donald Trump on this issue.
Yeah, that issue, that's Harry Enten over at CNN. You know, the place where they're talking about how the Republicans are so divided and Donald Trump's lost his base and blah, 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 blah. I don't know, like 80% of Republicans back what Trump did here. It's just more noise in the background.
It's, what is it, 95% of the things were signed by AutoPen. You can tell because the AutoPen is a nice, clean signature and his signature's a mess. The only thing he signed was, which is nice, was Hunter's pardon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad the president's still talking about this. I am still in the camp that I'll believe it when I see it if anything ends up getting done with this. I wish it would. I wish everything he signed would be tossed out, but that's going to have to go through a court system somewhere.
And so when I was just speaking the facts about fraud is fraud, 89% of the population committing the fraud is Somalian, that does not make me a racist. Dollars have no race to it. It's just a pure fact that money's being stolen from Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, how about that? Nick Shirley there, the guy that went up and exposed when the mainstream media wouldn't, the fact that these Leering centers are still operating with no children in them. And of course the media's like, well, we haven't independently confirmed that. Visit the place between 8 and 5. If there are no kids there, it's a pretty good indication.
Everyone wants to talk about how Maduro was illegitimate. As we sit here on January 6th, I do want to be clear. Somebody else was trying to be a Maduro of the United States.
Oh, that makes my brain hurt. Just listening to Jasmine Crockett and her lack of collective intelligence is hard to, it's just hard to wrap your brain around sometimes. That Donald Trump's trying to be a Maduro. He's trying to be a dictator. I wonder if that would include the warm embrace of collectivism. Do you think she's?
Yeah.
Do you really think she's dumb enough to not realize that Venezuela was a failed experiment 20 years out? It's like looking into the future of New York City 20 years out. Just look down at Venezuela. And she's just not smart enough to connect those two.
Yes, because look how many people were not smart enough to connect the two and elected Zohran Mamdani. And he's leading New York City in the same direction that we've seen Venezuela. So all the zoos in New York City, I'm praying for the animals there. Because you might not be living much longer because you might become lunch.
You know, I had his, what did we call her? Is it his tenant? Director, is that what she called herself?
Right. Yep.
Sia Weaver. I assume I'm pronouncing that right. She, back in 2021, before Mamdani got elected, he appointed her his tenant advisor or something like that on issues dealing with landlords. She basically parroted the policy of South Africa to take property rights away from white people. She warned back then that that's what she wanted to do. And now this numbskull has actually given her authority within the city of New York when it comes to tenant landlord issues. Listen.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good. And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity will require that we think about it differently. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some POC families who are homeowners as well, are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Well, would that relationship be ownership? Like, you'll no longer be the owner of your property because we're going to take your rights away and move somebody else in?
And that's racist, by the way. What she said is racist.
You.
What Nick Shirley did is not racist.
I know. But, of course, he's being accused of racism because the people, the immigrants, migrants, whatever you call them, from Somalia, happen to have black skin. So he must be racist for saying that, even though 85% of the people indicted in that case are Somalian. Odd how that works. Coming up, we're going to get to State Representative Richard West. We'll find out his take on how things are going to go when the legislature gets into session. They're going to ring the bell down there probably around noon today in Jefferson City. We'll be right back. Well, the basically five-month-long session starts today for the Missouri legislature. They'll run through May. And what is going to get done down there? The headline this morning in the Missouri Independent says, Missouri lawmakers expect tension as they return for their election year legislative session. We've got State Representative Richard West on the line with us, District 102. And Richard, welcome back to the show. How you been?
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Are you in Jeff City already?
Yeah, I came in last night.
All right.
Getting ready for this morning.
Yeah, your phone's breaking up a little bit. I don't know why. What's going on there? But just your thoughts on, you know, maybe how you're expecting things to go. I know some of the Democrats have made some noise. They're upset about the redistricting issue and, of course, getting the abortion Amendment 3 back on the ballot.
Yeah, we expect a little bit of turbulence with the filibuster. But, you know, in government, you need to work together to get sand. I believe they're going to realize that sooner or later they're going to have to come around and work with the Republicans to get things done. I think in weeks of term, I think we'll fall into line.
You know, I know the governor had announced that he was going to push hard for eliminating the state income tax. I know that wouldn't happen immediately. For a lot of us, we've been on the anti-personal property tax bandwagon for a long time. Bill Igel talked a lot about that when he ran for governor last year. Are there bills pending? Do you have one this year dealing with that issue?
Actually, I do. I had one last year that actually got through Senate committee, but it never made it to the Senate floor. And I'll run this different than last year. Last year said evaluation and you have a tax. It's two separate. My bill last year was to cut the evaluation in half over 3 years. This year, the bill is going to be aimed at eliminating evaluation over a course of 3 years. So every year, the evaluation of your personal property would be declined by 33 1/3%, and on that third year, it would just be eliminated.
Wow!
Now the tax would still be there, but my goal is once we get the valuation down to zero, which would effectively mean you would have zero tax, then to eliminate the tax altogether.
Good. I mean, that's a great idea. The madness of continuing to pay for a vehicle that's 6, 7, 8, 10 years, you pay tax on it again every year is insane to me. But that, again, that's that money the municipalities are going to claim has got to be made up somewhere.
Yeah. So, you know, when I bring this plan forward, and I hate to be callous about it, but it's as a legislator, it's really not my job to go out and advocate for a tax to replace a tax. It's the entity. So if you're removing, first of all, only about 8% of the funding for it's not municipalities so much. It's more your school districts and your fire districts, your ambulance districts, and your library districts are the three main people that take benefit of that tax. Only about 8% of their funding comes from personal property tax.
Oh yeah, well I mean
so it's a chunk, but it's something that's completely doable. So I say it's really not my responsibility. What they need to do is they need to advocate to the taxpayer and go back out to the taxpayer and explain, we no longer have the income of the personal property tax. We need to find another way to do it. And they can put it on a sales tax. They can put it on back onto your real property tax, which we already know is high. But
right.
At least they have to go back to the people and advocate and explain why it is that they need that.
Yep, that's true. Yesterday, when you and I were talking about coming on today, I asked you what issues were on your mind. One of the ones you mentioned was Ibogaine. Explain that to people, and why is that coming up right now?
So Look, we have a, I was a first responder for 24 years. I was a police officer, and I spent 28 months in Iraq, actually, during the war. And one of the things we deal with in this country hugely is PTSD, right, and some of the mental issues that, that our first responders and our veterans deal with on a daily basis. And they come home, the Veterans Administration, you know, they pump them full of these drugs. They give them all these counseling off, sessions, and it just doesn't seem that a lot of it works. Ibogaine is a psychedelic along the lines of psilocybin mushroom, but it's different. And it's actually the efficacy rate on this for one dose is 80% up to 80%. For two doses is up to 95%, and there's no reoccurring medications. Of course, there will be some continuing counseling, but think of an efficacy rate of up to 95% with just two doses.
Okay.
And because it's a psychedelic, it's class three drug, so it's you know, the government says, no, we're not going to use it, whatever. There's a big push, not only from the federal level, but Texas has picked it up and passed a bill. And there's a lot of advocates out there. We now have a lot of research behind it. What we're having to do right now is send our veterans and or anybody that wants this treatment, we have to send them out of the country to get it. So they send them over to the Netherlands, or they send them down to Mexico. And they get these treatments, and they come back, and they're healed. They're a healed person. And so there's a huge push to push this legislation through, so at least these folks can try it. It's completely 100% administered by medical staff and medical doctors. A lot of researchers are pushing for this too, just because of the high efficacy rate.
Yeah, but some changes would have to be made at the federal level, correct?
Well, at a state level, we would still, they're working on the federal level. Feds move, right, a little slower than we do, but
right,
we would still allow it in the state.
Oh, okay.
Administered under a under a doctor's care.
Got it. Well, that's interesting. I would have to admit I'm not that was not on my radar at all. So when you mentioned that, interesting approach that I was unaware of. Listen, Richard, what time do things get underway today? What time do you guys get started?
10 o'clock this morning.
All right, very good. We appreciate your time. Best of luck, and keep us up to date through the session.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Y'all have a good day.
Outstanding. Richard West there. Great to get him on this morning. State representative from District 102. I was wrong. I thought it was at noon, but I guess they get underway about 10 a.m. This morning. There's a prayer breakfast down there, all that stuff as well. We're going to talk to the Lieutenant Governor, David Wasinger, coming up at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that. We still got business coming up with Nicole. Stay tuned. Well, Kim, I had a little bit of a panic attack when you mentioned that news about the
High Point.
About the High Point, I was a little worried about that, because I don't go there a lot, but I go there enough that I got to tell you, I don't know that I've had a better smash burger than the one that I've had at that High Point down in the Chesterfield Valley near the factory. We've gone there and eaten a few times before, and had a drink before going over to the factory.
Okay, I will give you that.
Delicious.
Their burgers are amazing. But here's my critique of High Point, because we went not that long ago. Burger amazing, okay? But I only got a burger, and it was like $10, $12, and I had nothing. It wasn't even like I had a side of fries. If I wanted fries, I had to pay an additional $4 or $5. And I'm sorry, I can eat, so I'm going to need more than just a burger to fill me up, and I've already spent like $12.
On the bright side, the minimum wage just went up again after the first of
great,
the year.
Great, so now it'll be $15.
It'll be $12 great next time you go, I'm sure. You got to pass that cost along, and all those idiots that demanded a higher wage, there's going to be a computer machine cooking your hamburgers in the future, taking your orders, all of it. They're gonna have to streamline.
What do you want?
But anyway,
that's what we're gonna deal with, is robots.
Six of them are still open. They closed three, right?
Yes.
They're closing three locations for High Point. That's a bummer. All right, let's get to our friend Nicole Murray this morning, please. Who is back? First time I've had a chance to talk to you in January. Happy New Year, Nicole.
Happy New Year.
You doing all right?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm hanging in.
I'm sorry. You didn't get that flu that's floating around, did you?
I never tested myself for the flu, but man, it was a doozy, fever and everything.
Oh, so. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. It's not the best way to start out the year, but they say flu season is bad, so I believe them now.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Absolutely. It's wiping some people out for sure. Hopefully we get through that here before too long. So what's going on out there in the business world this morning?
All right, let's get to it. Futures are mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 484, the NASDAQ up 151, the S&P 500 up 42. Several of the businesses in the Del Mar Maker District are closing and saying it is a result of slow recovery from last year's deadly tornado. Owner Danny Eichenhorst says Steve's Hot Dogs and the Fountain on Del Mar will close January 10th. President Trump said interim authorities in Venezuela would turn over between 30 and 50 million barrels of oil to the United States. Trump said that the oil will be sold at market price. U.S. crude futures fell 1.3% after the announcement. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports that the average contract interest rate for a 30-year mortgage decreased to 6.25% from 6.32%, the lowest level since September of 2024. But lower rates did not boost mortgage demand. Mortgage application volume dropped 9.7% over the two-week holiday period ending 2025 into the new year. And some breaking news. The Warner Brothers Discovery Board once again has unanimously recommended that WBD shareholders reject a hostile takeover offer from Paramount Skydance. The board said it continued to believe the Paramount bid is inferior to a previously announced deal with Netflix. Sweden-based Volvo Cars said it sold just over 75,000 cars in December, up 2% from a year earlier. Volvo Cars, which is majority owned by China's Geely Holding, said in a statement that the sale of fully electric cars rose 28% year-on-year. And finally, new research has determined that millennials take the most vacation days annually compared to any other generation.
Wow. Some people might argue I do.
You're not wrong.
Millennial.
I'm all about it, though.
Well, I think millennials, we have this, it's very important to have the work-life balance, right? And a lot of companies will say, if you don't use it, you lose it. I can't even wrap my brain around people who end the year with, you know, 2-3 weeks of vacation, knowing they're losing it, and they feel good about that. I'm like, I don't know. I just, it's not that I don't enjoy my job, but I love my family and the time with my family and resting that much too, that I want to be able to use that time off.
Yeah. I also saw a really good quote that, like, when you look back on your young adult years, you don't want to say that the only place you went to was work and home. Like, you want to have other experiences under your belt before it's too late, kind of thing.
Yeah. Kim, Kim mentioned this earlier, but I listened to a Gordon Deal interview this morning with somebody. I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, Nicole, but the reporter was talking about some effort to draw people back into the office. Did you hear that interview this morning?
No, I was busy working.
Oh, I'm sure you probably were. But I was like, yeah, like the they were trying to stress the benefit of getting people to come to work. And I'm thinking to myself, the benefit is your paycheck. What's happened to our work ethic in this country?
It is hard, though, when you've been remote and then you're being told to come back. It's one thing if you I know, I agree with you. However, I will tell you that it's easier just if you start out in the office 5 days a week than if you sit there and you say, okay, now you have to come back this many days and then this many days. People don't like that.
Yeah, but remote work doesn't mean that the work ethic has gone by the wayside. It's just a matter of where you're getting the work done.
Yeah.
Well, I did do dishes and stuff, and I would, you know, when I worked in TV, we were remote for a while during COVID, and I would get stuff done, but I still got my work done.
There's just a little extra pressure when you know that through the window over there, your boss is sitting in their office, and they can look out and see when you're screwing around. I'm just a big advocate of that personally. I think
maybe you could be screwing around in the office. You could be scrolling on social media on your computer.
You learn those skills, absolutely, how to change the screen really quick if the boss is walking by. Yeah.
That's why I never liked when my desk in an office was backed up, you know, where everyone would walk by and see. I don't like that. It's not even like I'm doing weird stuff. I just don't like the idea that people are just creeping on what I'm doing. Maybe I want to Google something that's embarrassing about a dumb question that I don't want to ask out loud, and I don't want people knowing I'm Googling
that. Your company's monitoring that anyway.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, Nicole, we certainly, sorry to hear you're under the weather. Hope you're feeling better by tomorrow.
Me too. I hope so.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Yep. Had a family member that came down with that that influenza B, and it was a nasty little bug, but we were fortunate enough to get on Tamiflu like immediately, and 2 days later, all the difference in the world.
Don't get me started with Tamiflu.
Started on it early, it really makes a difference.
Yeah.
In our experience.
I strongly dislike Tamiflu. I have heard if you get on it really early that it can be better, but
yes.
I had a horrible experience with
it.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But we did not.
Well, I'm glad she's feeling better.
Yeah. Much better. So that's one way to defeat this thing. And of course, as soon as I realized what the illness was after we got the test, I ran and Googled, how effective is the flu vaccine against the B strain of this virus? And the result was positive for me, because when I was in the hospital with the rib situation, they said, have you had the flu shot? I'm like, no, I'm not going to get that this year. And then a couple days later, I was in so much pain, the thought of sneezing or coughing terrified me. And I'm like, can I still get that flu shot? So back in early November, I got the flu shot. Well, now I'm worried about, I heard it's not as effective against, I guess it's the A strain of the virus. This happened to be the B strain, which it tends to be more effective against.
I'll be honest, I do not get the flu shot.
I've gotten it a lot in the past. I kind of decided I wasn't going to get it this year, and then I decided it would be in my ribs' best interest.
Well, they talk about some K variant now. That's
I know. There's all
havoc. It's like every other day it's a new variant.
Of course. Next it'll be some new N1 2A strain that you've never heard of before, and Tony Fauci will be back on the TV talking about it.
Don't talk about Tony Fauci. I think you should wear an N1 mask. What was it? N1?
H1N1.
H1N1. Yeah. No, the mask. What's the best mask that they say?
Yeah.
The hospital grade
mask. I know
what
you're talking about.
N1 mask? Why am I already forgetting this? It's probably because I have PTSD from COVID.
Yeah, I'm sure you want to forget about it.
Is that really? Am I crazy? What's that?
I don't remember the specific name.
It's the
Somebody
thicker one. Because the other one's, tiny little diaper you wear on your face, which was pointless.
Worthless.
It was absolutely so stupid. N95. Thank you, Richie.
Thank you.
Gosh, I really am just mom brain up the wazoo now.
I don't know what my excuse is then. I don't have one. All right, coming up, we're going to get to in other news. Next hour, David Wassinger, Lieutenant Governor, is going to join us. We'll talk to our friend Mary Vogt from the Heritage Foundation this morning. And State Senator Nick Schroer for his perspective from what's going to happen in the Missouri Senate when the legislative session gets underway at about 10 a.m. this morning.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
If your name is Karen, your wife's name is Karen, you have family members named Karen, I think they'll be happy to hear this news. And that is because we know that Karen's become kind of a widely known derogatory slang name, right? Oh, she's a Karen.
I know.
She's annoying. She's this. She's that. Okay. Typically refers to what they say is an older woman, typically white, who inserts themselves into situations they're not involved in. Okay. Well, I guess Gen Z has picked its own version of Karen that's aimed at younger Gen Xers and older millennials, and that is Jessica. So I'm sorry to all you Jessicas out there. You are the new Karen.
Don't be a Jessica. So that is people who stick their nose where it doesn't need to be?
Yeah, a lot of things, but that would be one of them.
Huh.
I just think of Karens as...
Why'd they pick Jessica?
I don't know.
Is it a common name?
She says it's a
generation?
Name that's popular among both Gen X and millennial women, so I guess there's enough of them.
Yeah, there probably is.
Another popular option apparently was Ashley.
Ashley would almost make more sense to me as a name I would recognize more clearly.
Well, it's interesting.
Crazy Ashleys.
That's probably true. You can tell how old someone is roughly based on their name. Like Kimberly, obviously being my full name. You don't hear of babies now being born Kimberly. That was more of the 1990s.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, don't be a Kimberly. Should we have started that?
Thank you, Mark. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Remember Mickey Rourke, the actor, the boxer? I mean, really a unique individual. He's been around for a long time, but apparently he's fallen on some financial hard times. He was served with a notice last month that he owed $60,000 in back rent on a L.A. property where he was staying. And somebody started a GoFundMe campaign on his behalf. It was a woman who started this, and she said she was part of his management team. Well, they were trying to gather $100,000, and I think they got up close to about half of that, because he owed $60,000. And now Mickey Rourke has taken to Instagram. He looks like...
He looks bad.
I got to be very careful how I describe how he looks. He looks...
Insulated?
Plastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's always looked like that.
Yeah. He's taken to Instagram to let people know that he had nothing to do with that, and he would never ask his fans to send him money. And he just wants everyone to know about that. So I don't know.
Do we believe that?
What happens to? I don't really, but I don't know what happens to the money. He said, "That's not me. I'd rather if I needed money, I wouldn't ask for charity. I'd rather stick a gun up my blank and pull the trigger."
That's good Lord.
Was intense. His exact quote.
All right, then. Tell us how you really feel.
Mickey Rourke has always been an odd dude.
Hasn't he been through this before, though? Like, there was a point where I thought he was broke already once.
Oh, maybe.
There's some Nickelodeon star I keep seeing where he's broke. He's homeless, and there's like a GoFundMe page, and people keep giving him money, and his own mom is saying, stop giving him money. Because he's using it to buy drugs, right? Oh, he looks, it's really sad. He was an adorable kid. I don't even remember the show, but man, like you don't even recognize him now. Hey, we're all Chick-fil-A fans, right?
We are Chick-fil-A fans.
Well, you could win free food from Chick-fil-A for a year.
Wow. That reminds me of my favorite song.
Chick-fil-A. I could eat there 7 times a day. Where the people laugh and children play. Oh, I'm in love with Chick-fil-A.
Tim Hawkins.
I need to modify
that's
that, though.
That's my favorite
because
song.
I could eat it 7 times a week. Did he say a day or a week?
A
because
day.
They're... Why are they closed? I mean, I respect that they're closed on Sunday, but come on.
It's Sundays every day you want it. It's
I know.
Always on Sunday.
We'll be driving home from church. We pass a Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, man, Chick-fil-A sounds good right now. Oh, they're closed. Well, starting...
Oh, wait. Here it is. Here it is.
But their stores are closed. Oh, I know.
Thank you.
It's Sunday.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Starting this week and for the next year, there's new frosted sodas and floats on the menu and these limited like specialty items or whatever. And there are these retro collectible cups for $3.99 that's supposed to be nostalgia-y. Well, anyway, they're taking a page out of Willy Wonka's playbook because what they're doing is they're putting in these like golden tickets. So 3,000 customers who buy a collectible cup could receive a golden fan cup, and then they would win free Chick-fil-A for a year.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And I guess they're, I don't have, okay. It's in a box or something? You don't see it till you
don't
pop it
I
open?
I was kind of wondering that. Wouldn't a worker know? Like if there's one gold one sitting in there?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm thinking
it'd be the Monopoly thing all over again.
I hope they don't sell those in Somalia. There could be mass fraud.
Can I just say something real fast,
Minnesota.
Though? There's a picture of, I'm reading this article on Chick-fil-A, and there's an article for some like foot. And it's like, I were reading an article about Chick-fil-A, and then I scroll down and I see a nasty foot. Can we just talk about how gross these pop-up ads are?
I know. That's the truth.
Come on.
Well, you remember Neuralink?
Yes.
Where they're supposed to be implanting something in your brain. It's an Elon Musk company, and they've now put these in 12 people have successfully had Neuralink implanted. It's for people with brain injuries who are paralyzed or have trouble moving, communicating. And they can translate the neurons into your brain into digital commands and allow people to have control of devices or regain lost functions. And they're now pretty close to doing it pretty regularly in the U.S.
Which is really cool, but here's my question. Can you control your thoughts in the sense that I'm thinking something that I would never want to say out loud and it starts typing
it?
How would you differentiate if you can't, you're not saying it, your brain's just thinking it. How do you tell your... Whatever,
for,
to not...
For people with ALS, I would think that's the least of their worries.
Well, I'm a little worried because, you know, people have some weird thoughts.
Well, that's true. This is very
true.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
and it's typing it out and the robot's reading it. No, that's not what I meant.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Missouri, David Wassinger, is going to join us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.